Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Two very special guests have just walked into the studio. I'm so happy they're here together. Tribune columnist Heidi Stevens, Dr. John Duffy, clinical psychologist. They do a podcast together called On Purpose. You should check it out. All kinds of fun ways of dealing with modern day parenting and beyond. And it's super fun. Thanks, guys, for being here. Good Halloweens? Cold. It was cold.
It was cold. It was windy, but, you know, cold. It was, yeah, candy was gotten.
Snowmen were built in your neighborhood, John. Yes.
And I have to say, my wife and I both kind of escaped. Julie went. I was working, and Julie went to somebody else's house. We neither one of us were there to distribute. We apologized to all the kids in the neighborhood.
Did you put a little disclaimer out there? We apologize to you for ruining your Halloween.
In retrospect, that would have been good, wouldn't it?
You just turned the light off, right?
Is that the exactly. Yeah. That we turned the light
off.
That was the idea. And we did not shovel the steps, and so it looked very unapproachable.
Don't go near that house. Don't go near it. It's probably really weird people there. 815, this is probably representative of what we've been hearing so far from listeners, and thank you all for contributing to this. My two boys went out for 2 hours. They had a blast, and we had a ton of kids come to the house. We're in Kirkland. That was the thing. If you went out, I was saying, you got a lot of candy because everyone was trying to get rid of it all if you didn't have a lot of trick-or-treaters.
Yep. Yeah, no, I was surprised that we were trick-or-treating the South Loop, and the streets were not what they normally are, where, you know, you can barely sort of navigate a sidewalk because it's so crowded. But there were tons of families out, even in the cold and snow and wind.
But there's a little adult partying going on, too,
of
Heidi?
Of course.
Okay. Yeah. Just checking. I want to make sure everyone was happy on Halloween.
All ages holiday.
It kind of is. It's one of those that you got to all get out and enjoy.
That's right. A lot of red Solo cups.
All right. So one of the things we want to tackle here, and this is it was a big headline in the New York Times. I've seen it in the Tribune recently. It's something that I think a lot of parents grapple with when your kids are young. What is the right age to get a cell phone for your kid? Apparently, the majority of them now have them by 11. The average age is 10. And my 7-year-old is begging for one, and she does not have one, but some of her friends do. So parents are making all kinds of decisions. And I think in my mind as a parent, you think, all right, I understand the safety reasons why if your kid is at a party, if your kid is at after school activity, why they might need a phone to text me and say, hey, I'm ready, pick me up, or I don't have my medication or something like that. But there's the other part that gets kind of creepy when they're online predators, for sure. But then also just even when she's on YouTube, I watch there are recommended videos, and I'm not always happy with the recommended videos.
Right.
She clicks through to those. She clicks through to another. Suddenly there's this world of adult content out there that it's hard to supervise.
Yeah,
frankly.
For sure. Especially when they're holding it in their hand versus, you know, using the family laptop or
on the TV.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
For sure. When you can't go through the history necessarily, or you might not think to. So I use a metric that it might be a little different than what age. It's usually like developmentally, maturity wise, is this child ready for that? And I always like getting aunts, uncles, and parents involved. Like, okay, so if you're going to have any social media, you're going to have followers. You're going to have people who are able to reach out to you and say, okay, you've got about 5 minutes to take that down, or I'm reaching out to mom and dad. Mm-hmm. And I think the more
so you set up spies.
Yeah, spies.
Okay.
In order to create kind of appropriate, you know, online use overall.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
It's a great idea.
I think that the age is, you know, it's hard to set a hard and fast age when families look so different. I think if you have parents who don't live in the same house for whatever reason, either they were never married or they're no longer married, I think often a phone can come in handy at a younger age than a kid whose parents are married and living under the same roof. I mean, if you want to be able to reach your kid when they're not staying at your house, I think that can be a pretty good argument for getting them a phone at an age where, you know, another family would think, well, what the heck do they need a phone for? I think so many families have so many different needs and look so many different ways that it's hard for me to say a hard and fast, like, oh God, why would a kid before 10 have a phone? Or, oh God, why would it? You know, like, I just think you have to factor in what your specific family's needs are. I will say the thing I noticed the most once both my kids got phones was how much less we talk to each other. And I would urge any parent who's like kind of on the fence about it to factor that in. Like, it does become this barrier to just easy conversation.
You lose your child a little bit.
I notice
when I give my daughter the iPad and she starts watching these shows she likes to watch and it's pretty controlled. She's just gone for like a couple hours.
Right.
And then I will say, I'm guilty. We're all guilty as adults. It's learned behavior. They see us on our phones.
Right.
Like, what the heck is so fascinating? I want to check that out. Like, right. I want to be on the phone too. I want to be on the iPad. I need to do all this.
Right.
Let's check out. We have Derek calling in. His six-year-old has a phone. Derek, you made the choice to allow your six-year-old to have a phone. You're on WGN Radio.
She actually got it when she was five. We live out in the country and play dates and everything and playing in other people's backyards a little bit further than next door. So it's called a gizmo, but it makes calls, and you can text only numbers we program, and it has GPS tracker on it.
Oh, that's great. So you can tell where your kid is. I see what you're
talking
about.
It's like a little watch.
Okay.
She's Dick Tracy running around. She's Dick Tracy. We don't watch her.
See, that makes perfect sense to me. You know, that's what I'm talking about. Different families have different needs. Like, if if your kid's walking, 7 acres away versus a block away, and you want to track her and she can text you when she got there. I don't know. That sounds legit to me.
Yeah.
And to get kids started. Like,
her school has like three towns in it. So play date could be another town over. Well, let's put your phone on. Let's put your watch on.
Thank you, Derek. What an interesting thing. It's pretty young, right?
Yeah, it is young, but I think Derek makes two good points. One is, kids connect through their phones. Mm-hmm. And if you're in a rural area, sometimes that's the way they make plans. And so you might want your younger kids to get started that way. And these ideas like the phone he's talking about, the Cricket phone, these starter phones for kids, they kind of keep us away from some of the perils while introducing kids to like appropriate online behavior. And that might be a way to ease into it instead of giving your child like, an iPhone at 6 years old.
What is it called again, Dr. John? Because I did not use it as a Cricket phone.
I said Cricket. I can't remember what Derek said.
Gizmo.
Yes,
yeah.
That's the other one.
Gizmo or
Cricket's
Cricket
like
phones.
The cell phone store.
And they're
but it's also this really basic little like flippy phone.
Oh, is
yeah,
it?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So they might have different ones.
Also,
yes.
Like phone etiquette. You're talking about teaching them online behavior, but like my kids, I found because we don't have a landline and, my friends and I don't call each other on the phone really that much. My mom doesn't call me on the phone to chat. It's just not how we live anymore versus the way it looked in my childhood. I found that my kids like simple things like saying goodbye before they hang up were kind of eluding them. And I realized like, oh my God, they don't know how to use a phone as a phone, as something that you call people on.
Oh, right. Who would do that?
Right. So, I mean, I actually think there's, some use in that, right? Like, you are at some point going to need to say hello and goodbye and is so-and-so around.
And John, this is redeeming for you. There is a, thank you, listener 708, there is something called Gizmo. You can totally control with Verizon. That's what you were referencing, right?
Yes. Okay.
This is what you're talking about.
And I think Derek gets more credit than me for that, but I'll take it.
this brings us to this next study that just came out this week, and I gotta say, I was a little taken aback by it. I didn't realize this is where we were. And the amount of time kids are using phones and accessing videos has increased dramatically every year. And the age that we give kids phones is going down. So they found that 8 to 12 year olds spend an average of 5 hours online or on their phones every day. I want to believe part of that's homework, but I'm not sure. Five hours is a lot. 12 to 18 spend 7.5 hours on their phone. They're on their phones constantly. That's like every waking hour when you're not in school practically.
Yeah. Now, if you factor in CPS students in the last 2 weeks, those numbers actually
quadruple.
Yeah, it's actually 22 hours a day.
How true is that?
Yeah. At least in my house.
Well, in my experience working with kids, they grossly underestimate. So I'll ask kids, like how often, in a given day do you think you use your phone? And then we'll check their phone for the data usage and they can't believe it. It's like three times more than what they think it's going to be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So they don't know how much time they're spending on their phones.
Okay. In defense of kids, though, they are watching what we would have sat down and watched on a TV on their phone.
True.
Right.
Definitely.
So you gotta think of it as also the time that we would have sat and watched The Cosby Show.
Right.
Or whatever sitcom was on that night. Like they're watching, they're binging whatever they're watching on their phone. It's also like how they listen to music. It's how they do everything they do practically happens on that little phone. So
all the media they consume is there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it could be podcasts. It could be, right. It could be just about anything. I worked with a young man last night who probably spends a couple hours a day listening to podcasts, and he's educating himself.
Right.
It's not just like, you know, goofing around and putting up memes and stuff. It is, there is some serious stuff happening.
Yeah.
He is learning.
And I don't think it's all bad news.
Sometimes it's in the background, I would imagine,
yes,
too, right?
I think
you listen
so.
To your favorite videos or something like that, your music, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Is that possible?
Right.
Even during homework.
We
some
have
kids say they,
a number of other topics we want to get to. Here's one, 312. Kids should have a phone when the only thing that you could use it for is to call 911.
Oh.
Thank you, Pete. I don't think this is modern kids. I'm not sure they would embrace that at some age. I mean, my daughter's on me at 7. I feel like I'm going to break down at some point soon. It's kind of the way things are going. There's something else we want to talk about. We're going to break here. We want to keep your phone calls coming. So if you have sort of experiences with this kind of thing, with phones and that kind of thing, or if you've heard of TikTok, are you a parent who knows a lot about TikTok? It is the largest growing social media app, the most downloads in the Apple Store the first quarter of this year. It's growing by leaps and bounds. And what I'm finding, and maybe you guys can weigh in on this too, I'm finding a lot of people don't even know that it exists, but the kids know. Go ask an 8-year-old. All of them know what TikTok is. Go ask a parent. They're like, wait a minute, I think I've heard of that. It's interesting because it opens up a lot of doors. And we'll talk about that here on WGN Radio when we come back with Heidi Stevens and Dr. John Duffy. All right, back with Heidi Stevens, Tribune columnist, you know her, you love her, Dr. John Duffy, clinical psychologist. They have a podcast together. It's called On Purpose. And you have a book, John, that I won't even attempt to try to say the name of. So you tell us, what's your book?
Yeah, it's called Parenting the New Teen in the Age of Anxiety.
Oh, that's not that bad.
No, it's not terrible, right?
I don't think there isn't there like a subtitle after
there's,
it.
Don't make me try the subtitle.
What's the subtitle, John? What's the subtitle?
Oh, do not do this to me. I have no idea.
We'll ask your publisher. All right. We talked about phone use, and we talked about social media and phone. One of the things people are using, kids are using their phones for, and their devices is for social media. No surprise there. But the fastest growing social media platform out there, hands down, is called TikTok. And what I found in just talking to my friends about it, other moms at school and dads and stuff, and I say, have you heard of TikTok? And no, they haven't. But true story, my daughter had some friends over, and one of them, 6 years old, allowed to have a phone. That's fine. That's up to the other parents. She's over at my house. She's allowed to use it. And she posted, a lot of them post dances because it's very easy on TikTok. You communicate through playing music beds with your posting, and you can put stickers on it. It's very young kid friendly. And she posted a little dance while she was at my house, and I watched as she got 109 likes on her video in the course of like an hour. And I'm like, there's no way she has 109 6-year-old friends who are watching this at this time. And it just sort of troubled me because I thought, who's watching it and what's going on there? And I know that many, many young kids are on TikTok. And just wondering if you have had experiences with this. Was it on your radar? Do you know much about it?
So I did not know what TikTok was. I had heard of it, but I knew we were going to be talking about it. So I asked my son the other day, I'm like, what the heck's TikTok? I think I have to talk about it in a couple days. And he said, it's what used to be Musical.ly. Like when kids used to do Musical.ly, now they do TikTok. So you lip sync? And he was like, I don't know. Ask June. That's my daughter.
And how old is June?
14.
Okay.
So she might be a little older than the average user. I don't know. My question, I guess, would first be like, are there settings where you can make it private or public? Because I think I'd freak out a little bit if 109 people liked my 6-year-old's video in a matter of minutes. Like that means it's probably the public watching it, right?
Yes. Yeah,
I would. That's what scared me the most. And I told the parents, I said, hey, just want to let you know this is what happened. They said, that's okay. We're, you know, she's allowed to use social media and we're okay with that. That was their decision. They were in the tech world themselves. They, you know, the kind of love that their kids are very digital savvy, and that was their decision. I was freaked out, though, that 100 and some people like this little 6-year-old dancing.
Yeah.
And a Saturday, you know, when all the other kids are out playing or something, and I thought, geez.
Well, that's the fear, right? And with all new social media, usually that the initial settings are public. Like you have to go out of your way to find a way to make the settings private and to put age limits on it and things like that. So kids have access to this stuff. And by and large, what we're talking about right now, what we're going through in happens out there where kids know about this stuff long before.
Like, isn't that true?
I heard about TikTok from, and I always hear, I learn things from teenagers that I work with. at least a year ago, you know, and now I feel like just now people are talking about it, you know, but kids have been putting these videos up for a very long time and they're getting thousands of likes, a lot of them. And some of it's innocuous, what they put up there.
Some of it's just other kids
really
in
fun.
The TikTok universe,
yeah.
Probably. That's what it is.
Right. But some of it could get kids in trouble, and especially, you know, in the world where there are some pedophiles and creepy people out there, you know, they're going to be looking for, you know, these children who have public settings.
So what's the advice for parents? When do you think that it's kind of going crossing lines? Obviously, you know, if someone adult actually reaches out, that's obvious. But what kinds of things do you look for? Do you look for kinds of behaviors when your kid starts acting differently to try to please the TikTok universe? And, you know, I mean, because you do see that too. When you're on social media and you're a young age, you realize you get more likes when you do this than that behavior. And it starts changing how you use the platform.
It's changing how you go through the world.
Right.
Right? Because I think so much becomes, you know, measured by how many likes you got, how many views you got, how many loves you got.
Even if it's not authentic. If you know, I've worked with people who have doctored Instagram photos, but are so excited about how many likes they get that they'll do it again the next day, you know?
Yeah.
So you're right.
Yeah. It sets up sort of a false sense of like, I always have an audience and I owe that audience, you know, my presence and my prettiest face and my best dance, instead of just like, here I am alive figuring out life.
And I get, even if it's a false, I get some kind of a self-worth kick out of that, some boost.
Yeah. And adults are guilty of that too.
Should that be okay? Because that's what we're all doing. We're all doing it.
I'm guilty of it. I guess when it comes to, you know, keeping this about parenting, it just feels like a conversation that's worth having with your kid.
Right.
You know, like,
just gonna talk about
it. Instead of focusing or in addition to focusing on, you know, hey, a pedophile might be watching, I would probably find a way to talk about, I shouldn't laugh about pedophiles, but
shame on you, Sean.
I know, I'm sorry. is there a rewind on here?
Yeah.
I would probably suggest also finding a way where you talk about, you know, hey, there's like lots of ways to contribute to this world and feel proud of yourself and get fulfillment other than, you know, 109 people who don't even know you hitting like on your video. So like, let's talk about some of those ways. Like, what makes you feel really good about yourself? What person in your life, you know, brings you some joy and, you know, makes your day better? Like, just other ways to, you know, get a boost in your day other than how many people liked the thing you just put on, name the platform, Instagram,
right.
TikTok, Facebook.
It makes sense. Thank you both for this conversation. I appreciate coming by. Dr. John Duffy, Heidi Stevens, awesome stuff. And you have two kids, right, Heidi?
I do, yeah.
And Dr. John?
I've got one very grown kid.
So you've been through all this.
Yes.
And you kind of survived because he probably wasn't even that popular when he was young.
Exactly. No, this wasn't a big deal. TikTok was not a thing when he was 14.
It was so much easier back then.
Right.
All right. Thank you both for joining us here on WGN Radio, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Good afternoon.